A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it picks up a thread from something we talked through recently. The question is basically this. When we looked at whether Iran could pursue a distributed nuclear program, spreading material across nodes instead of concentrating it at known sites, we didn't start by asking how they'd reassemble the material. We started by testing whether the premise itself held water. That approach, challenging the premise before modeling the scenario, is something Daniel's been thinking about in the context of wargaming and AI. He's asking what methods exist for doing exactly that kind of structured premise testing across different fields, and specifically whether any frameworks or tools have been developed for evaluating high-stakes national security scenarios. Which is a question about how you think rigorously about things that haven't happened yet.
This is one of those areas where the terminology itself can mislead you. People hear wargaming and picture maps and little plastic pieces, or maybe a bunch of generals in a room arguing about carrier groups. But what's actually being asked here is closer to structured analytical reasoning under uncertainty. How do you test a premise without either accepting it uncritically or just trying to debunk it?
Right? Strongmanning versus strawmanning. You build the strongest version of the argument before you test it. Otherwise, you're just shadowboxing with a version of the idea nobody actually holds.
And there's a specific lineage here worth tracing. The structured analytic techniques that the intelligence community uses. These were formalized in large part through the work of Richard Heyer, who wrote Psychology of Intelligence Analysis for the CIA back in 1999. Heuer's core insight was that analysts have cognitive biases that lead them to prematurely converge on a single explanation, and that structured techniques can counteract that.
Before we even get to the AI part, there's a whole toolkit that already exists for doing exactly what the prompt is describing, challenging premises systematically.
And the one that maps most directly onto this question is something called Analysis of Competing Hypotheses, or ACH. The basic idea is you list every possible hypothesis that could explain the available evidence, not just the one that feels most plausible. Then you systematically evaluate each piece of evidence against each hypothesis. Crucially, you look for evidence that's inconsistent with each hypothesis, not just evidence that supports your preferred one.
Which is exactly what we were doing when we asked whether a distributed nuclear program even makes logistical sense before modeling how it would work.
That's the thing. ACH forces you to say, here's the evidence. Here are 7 different ways to interpret it. Let me score each one and see which hypotheses survive. And often the one that survives isn't the one you started with. Heuer documented cases where analysts using ACH changed their own assessments, not because new evidence came in, but because the structured process revealed that their initial premise wasn't actually the best fit for the evidence they already had.
How widely is this actually used? Because my sense is that in practice, a lot of analysis still defaults to what feels right.
It's uneven. The CIA's Sherman Kent School teaches ACH and several other structured techniques as part of its basic analyst training. The method is baked into the intelligence community's analytic standards. But whether an individual analyst actually uses it on a given day depends on time pressure, the specific team culture, and frankly, whether their supervisor insists on it.
It's like flossing. Everyone agrees it's good, the dentist teaches you how to do it, and then...
Then people get busy and skip it. That's a fair analogy.
The prompt isn't just asking about ACH. It's asking what other methods exist, and specifically about frameworks that use AI or computational approaches.
Let me build this out in layers. The first layer is the manual structured techniques, ACH, but also things like red team analysis, devil's advocacy, what-if analysis, and premortems. A premortem is when you say, assume the project failed. Now tell me why it failed. It's a technique that comes out of psychology research by Gary Klein, and it's specifically designed to counteract overconfidence by forcing people to imagine failure pathways they'd otherwise ignore.
The premortem is one of those ideas that's so simple it almost sounds like a party game, but it's genuinely powerful. You're not asking what might go wrong, you're saying it went wrong.
The research backs this up. Deborah Mitchell and colleagues published a study in the Journal of Behavioral Decision Making showing that prospective hindsight, that's the technical term for the pre-mortem, increases the ability to correctly identify reasons for future outcomes by something like 30% compared to just asking people to imagine possible futures.
That's layer one, manual techniques that trained analysts use. What's layer two?
Layer two is computational modeling that doesn't necessarily involve AI in the modern sense. Monte Carlo simulations, which the prompt mentioned directly. Monte Carlo methods go back to the Manhattan Project. Stanislaw Ulam and John von Neumann developed them in the 1940s. The idea is you run thousands or millions of simulations with randomized inputs drawn from probability distributions, and you look at the range of outcomes.
The keyword there is distributions, not point estimates. You're not saying Iran's breakout time is 6 months. You're saying, given our uncertainty about enrichment capacity, centrifuge reliability, and detection probability, here's the probability distribution of breakout times.
And the RAND Corporation has been doing this kind of work for decades. They developed something called the RAND Strategy Assessment System in the 1980s. It was an early attempt to build automated wargaming with both human and computer players. More recently, they built models for nuclear proliferation scenarios that incorporate Monte Carlo methods at multiple levels.
Those are probabilistic models. The prompt is asking about something more specific, testing premises, not just running probabilities.
This is where Layer 3 comes in, and is the most directly relevant to the question. There's been a real push in the last few years to use large language models specifically for what's called red teaming of ideas and premises. And I don't mean red teaming the AI itself. I mean using the AI as the red team against a proposed argument or scenario.
Instead of asking the model, what do you think about this premise, you're instructing it to find the weakest points in the premise and attack them.
And this has been formalized in several frameworks. One of the most interesting is from the Stanford Center for International Security and Cooperation and the Hoover Institution. They developed a methodology for using LLMs to simulate national security decision-making under extreme conditions. The study involved 214 scenarios, and they were specifically testing whether LLMs could model the reasoning patterns of different types of decision-makers, cooperative, aggressive, risk-averse, and so on.
214 scenarios is not a toy experiment. That's a serious attempt to validate whether this approach works.
Their finding, which I think is honestly quite nuanced, is that the models were useful but not oracular. They could surface non-obvious pathways and challenge assumptions in ways that human analysts found valuable, but they also displayed systematic biases, particularly toward escalation in certain types of scenarios and toward mirror imaging, which is assuming the other side thinks the way you do.
Mirror imaging is one of the classic intelligence failures. Everyone projects their own rationality onto the adversary.
That's exactly the kind of premise that needs to be challenged. If you're modeling an Iranian decision maker, and your model assumes they're optimizing for the same things an American planner would optimize for, you've already built the failure into the premise.
Tell me about the specific tools. The prompt asks whether any frameworks have been developed for exactly this kind of national security scenario evaluation.
There's a concrete example that I think is directly on point. IQT Labs. That's the research and development arm of NQTEL, which is the intelligence community's venture capital arm. They built an open-source framework called Snowglobe. It was specifically designed for running LLM-powered war games. It shipped to version 1.0 in September 2025 and then got deployed for internal use.
That's a name.
It's actually a pretty evocative name for what it does. The idea is you set up a contained environment, a snow globe, where you can shake things up and watch the dynamics play out without affecting the real world. The framework lets you define multiple AI agents, each with different objectives, constraints, and personality profiles, and then have them interact in a simulated crisis scenario.
You could have an agent playing Iran, an agent playing Israel, an agent playing the US, maybe an agent playing Hezbollah, each with different decision-making parameters, and you just let them go.
More structured than just letting them go, Snowglobe uses what's called a turn-based adjudication system. Each agent proposes actions. There's a neutral adjudicator, which can be either an LLM or a human, that determines the outcomes, and then the scenario evolves. The key insight from the IQT team was that the adjudicator needs to be more constrained than the player agents, because otherwise, the whole thing becomes a storytelling exercise rather than a rigorous simulation.
That's the failure mode. You get a compelling narrative that has nothing to do with what would actually happen.
Snowglobe addressed this by having the adjudicator work from a predefined set of physical and political constraints. An agent can't just declare that they've successfully enriched uranium to weapons grade. The adjudicator checks whether the timeline, the known infrastructure, and the technical parameters make that possible within the scenario.
Which brings us right back to premise testing. Before you even run the scenario, you have to get the constraints right.
That's where the Stanford-Hoover methodology connects with Snowglobe. Both of them use what's essentially a recursive premise check. Before running the full simulation, you run smaller-scale tests where you probe individual assumptions. Is this timeline physically possible given known centrifuge models? Does this escalation pathway assume a level of risk tolerance that's inconsistent with the historical behavior of this actor?
You're stress-testing the building blocks before you assemble them into a scenario.
And the CIA actually conducted an operational assessment of Snowglobe. This was documented in a paper that looked at how the framework handled extreme decision scenarios. Their finding was that the framework was most valuable not when it predicted outcomes correctly, but when it revealed that certain premises led to logically inconsistent or physically impossible pathways. It didn't say, "This is what will happen." It said, "This premise doesn't survive contact with the constraints."
Which is a much more modest and much more useful claim. You're not asking the model to be a prophet. You're asking it to be a consistency checker.
This connects to a broader point about what AI is actually good for in analytical contexts. There's been a lot of hype about using AI for prediction. Will country X do Y? Will asset Z appreciate? And most of that is overblown. But using AI for premise testing and consistency checking is powerful because it's a task where the machine's strengths. Exhaustive search, not getting tired, not having ego investment in a particular conclusion, align with what you actually need.
The machine doesn't care if your brilliant idea turns out to be wrong. It has no career to protect.
And that's non-trivial in intelligence analysis. Analysts are human. They get attached to their assessments. They have confirmation bias. ACH was designed to counteract that, but ACH is labor-intensive and people skip it. An LLM-based system that automatically challenges premises doesn't get bored and doesn't have a favorite hypothesis.
Let me try to map what we're talking about onto the specific distributed nuclear program scenario. If you were actually trying to evaluate that premise rigorously using these tools, what would the workflow look like?
Step one is exactly what we did, what I'd call the sanity check layer. Is this physically possible? What are the material requirements? What are the logistical constraints? You can do this with expert elicitation and back-of-the-envelope calculations, but you can also do it with a structured framework. For a nuclear program, you'd need to model centrifuge cascades, feedstock requirements, power consumption, thermal signatures. These are all physically constrained quantities.
If the premise fails at step 1, you don't need steps 2 through 10.
But let's assume it passes step 1. It's physically possible to distribute enrichment activities across multiple sites. Step 2 is the detection layer. What's the probability that a distributed program would be detected, and at what stage? This is where Monte Carlo methods become relevant. You'd model different deployment patterns, different inspection regimes, different intelligence collection capabilities, and run thousands of simulations to see what the detection probability distribution looks like.
If the answer is 98% probability of detection within 6 months, then the premise is technically feasible but operationally suicidal.
Step 3 is the response layer. Assuming detection, what are the likely responses from various actors, and how does that change the cost-benefit calculation for the proliferator? This is where agent-based modeling, like Snowglobe, becomes valuable. You set up agents with different response thresholds and decision-making styles, and you see what pathways emerge.
Step 4, I imagine, is the recombination problem. The actual engineering challenge of bringing distributed material together into a weapon.
Which is harder than most people assume. Nuclear material isn't Lego. You can't just snap pieces together from different sites and get a working device. There are isotopic consistency requirements, metallurgical compatibility issues, and the assembly process itself is technically demanding. The Federation of American Scientists has published detailed analyses of these constraints.
By the time you've run through all four layers, physical feasibility, detection probability, response dynamics, and engineering constraints, you've either validated the premise as concerning, or you've identified specific points where it breaks down.
Here's the thing that I think is most interesting about this approach. You might discover that the premise is weak at step 1 but strong at step 3, or strong at step 1 and 2 but fatally weak at step 4. The value isn't in a binary. This is a real threat, or this is nonsense. It's in understanding exactly where the vulnerabilities and strengths are.
Which is a much more nuanced product than what typically comes out of either the alarmist camp or the dismissive camp.
That's exactly what structured premise testing is designed to produce. It's not about grounding an idea into defeat, which is how the prompt put it. It's about understanding the idea well enough to know its actual contours.
Let me ask about something the prompt touched on that we haven't addressed yet. The distinction between probabilistic approaches like Monte Carlo and reasoning level approaches. Is there a clean separation there, or do they blend into each other?
They blend, and honestly, the most sophisticated frameworks blend them deliberately. Monte Carlo is great for quantifying uncertainty when you have good probability distributions for your input parameters. But for national security scenarios, you often don't. The probability that Iran would attempt a distributed nuclear program isn't something you can estimate from historical frequency data. There's no data set of Iranian nuclear decisions to sample from.
Small n problem. N equals... what? One revolutionary theocracy with a nuclear program.
So purely probabilistic approaches hit a wall. What you need is a combination. Use probabilistic methods where the data supports it, and use structured reasoning methods where it doesn't. The Snow Globe framework handles this by letting you parameterize agents with different decision-making styles. Some are probabilistic, some are rule-based, some are goal-oriented, and then the interactions between them generate emergent dynamics that aren't predictable from any single agent's programming.
Emergent dynamics. That's the phrase people use when the simulation does something surprising that they didn't explicitly program.
That's actually the goal. If your simulation only produces outcomes you already expected, it's not adding value. The value comes when the simulation surfaces a pathway you hadn't considered.
Has that actually happened in documented cases? I'm always skeptical of the AI found something we missed, claims.
There's a documented example from the IQT Snow Globe work. In one scenario, an AI agent playing a regional power responded to economic sanctions not by escalating or de-escalating, but by exploiting a third-party financial mechanism that the human analyst hadn't included in their initial threat model. The AI didn't invent the mechanism. It was a real financial instrument, but the humans hadn't considered it as an escalation pathway in that specific context.
The AI didn't discover new facts. It discovered new combinations of existing facts.
Which is actually what most analytical breakthroughs are. Very rarely does someone discover a completely new fact. Usually, it's about seeing a connection between known facts that nobody had put together before.
That's where the machine's ability to explore combinatorial spaces without getting tired becomes relevant. A human analyst can hold maybe 5 or 6 variables in their head at once. An LLM-based system can systematically explore interactions between dozens of variables.
Though we should be careful not to overstate this. The combinatorial space explodes very quickly, and even automated systems can't exhaustively search it. What they can do is use heuristics to explore more of the space than a human could, and surface non-obvious combinations for human review.
The workflow is machine proposes, human disposes.
That's the current best practice. The machine generates possibilities, the human applies judgment. And that's actually the model that the intelligence community has converged on. Not AI replacing analysts, but AI augmenting analysts by doing the exhaustive search work that humans are bad at.
Let me ask about something that's been nagging at me through this whole discussion. All of these methods, ACH, premortems, Monte Carlo, Snow Globe, they're all designed to counteract cognitive biases. But they're also all designed and deployed by humans who have their own biases. Is there a meta problem here where the choice of which technique to use and how to parameterize it already embeds the biases you're trying to avoid?
That's the important question, and it's one that the methodology literature wrestles with explicitly. The short answer is yes, there's absolutely a bias problem. If you choose to run a pre-mortem, you've already made a judgment that the plan might fail. If you choose not to run one, you've made a judgment that it probably won't. Neither choice is neutral.
Structured techniques don't eliminate bias. They just move it to a different level.
They make bias more visible and more contestable. That's the actual value proposition. When you use ACH, your evidence ratings and hypothesis scores are explicit. Someone else can look at them and say, I think you're underweighting this piece of evidence, or you've omitted a hypothesis. When you do intuitive analysis, all of that is implicit and unexaminable.
It's not about being unbiased, which is impossible, but about being auditable.
That's exactly the framing that the best methodologies use. The goal is not objectivity in some philosophical sense. The goal is transparency, replicability, and the ability to identify specific points of disagreement.
That connects to the AI question in an interesting way, because one critique of using LLMs for this kind of analysis is that they're black boxes. You don't know exactly why they produced a given output. But the counterargument is that human intuition is an even blacker box. At least with the LLM, you can run the same prompt multiple times and see the variance.
There's actually been work on exactly this. The Stanford Hoover study I mentioned found that LLM outputs were more consistent across repeated runs than human expert judgments on the same scenarios. Not more accurate necessarily, just more consistent. Human experts showed much higher variance depending on what they'd read that morning, whether they were hungry, all the usual factors.
The machine is mediocre but reliable. The human is occasionally brilliant but wildly inconsistent.
That suggests a division of labor. Use the machine for the consistency-intensive parts, exhaustive search, checking for logical contradictions, ensuring that conclusions follow from stated premises. Use the human for the judgment-intensive parts, deciding which premises are worth testing in the first place, evaluating whether the machine's outputs pass the sniff test, making the final call.
Where does this leave us on the specific question of frameworks for evaluating national security scenarios? It sounds like there's a spectrum from purely manual techniques to hybrid human, AI systems to mostly automated approaches, and the current frontier is the hybrid space.
That's right, and I think it's worth naming a few specific frameworks beyond Snow Globe, since the prompt asked directly about tools. There's the RAND Corporation's work on automated wargaming, which goes back decades, but has been updated with modern AI capabilities. There's the Center for Naval Analyses, which has done extensive work on structured analytic techniques for maritime security scenarios. DARPA has funded several programs in this space, most notably one called Cascade, which was about using AI to model complex adversarial decision-making.
Cascade. That's an acronym for something, I assume?
Honestly, I'm not sure what it stands for, and DARPA acronyms are often reverse-engineered to sound cool. But the program itself was about exactly this problem. How do you model an adversary's decision-making when you have incomplete information about their objectives, constraints, and internal dynamics?
Which is the fundamental intelligence problem? You're trying to understand someone who is actively trying not to be understood.
That's where the premise testing approach is most valuable. If you can't know what the adversary is thinking, you can at least systematically explore the space of possible things they might be thinking and see which ones are consistent with the available evidence and which ones aren't.
The distributed nuclear program scenario is a perfect case. You can't know whether Iran is actually considering it, but you can test whether it's physically possible, whether it would be detectable, whether it would survive contact with the various constraints, and whether it would actually achieve their objectives if they tried it.
If the answer is, it's physically possible but operationally impractical and strategically counterproductive, then you've learned something useful without ever having access to the actual decision-making process.
Which is, in a way, the entire point of intelligence analysis. You're building models of things you can't directly observe, and then testing those models against whatever evidence you can gather.
The frameworks we've been discussing are essentially tools for doing that testing more rigorously. They don't replace the need for human judgment, evidence collection, or domain expertise. But they make the reasoning process more explicit and more contestable, which is a genuine improvement over the alternative.
Let me push on one more thing before we wrap. The prompt mentions strongmanning the argument, building the strongest version before testing it. But there's a tension here, isn't there? If you're evaluating a national security threat, strongmanning might lead you to overestimate the threat. You're deliberately making the adversary more competent and more hostile than they might actually be.
This is a real debate in the intelligence community. The phrase you hear is worst case analysis versus most likely case, and there's a recognized pathology where analysts, trying to avoid being blamed for underestimating a threat, default to worst case assumptions that make every adversary look like a genius with unlimited resources and perfect execution.
The classic example being the Iraq WMD assessment, where a combination of worst-case assumptions and confirmation bias produced a threat picture that turned out to be largely wrong.
That's why the structured techniques matter. Strongmanning isn't the same as worst-casing. Strongmanning means you take the adversary's stated or inferred objectives and ask, what's the most effective way they could pursue these given their actual constraints? Worst casing means you ignore the constraints and assume they can do anything.
That's a crucial distinction. Strongmanning includes constraints. Worst casing ignores them.
The best frameworks enforce this distinction explicitly. In Snow Globe, for example, the adjudicator has a hard constraint set: physical limits, known capabilities, historical behavioral patterns. An agent can't just declare that they've magically solved a technical problem that's known to require years of additional R&D. The adjudicator will reject that move.
The framework itself enforces the difference between what's the most dangerous thing they could realistically do and what's the most dangerous thing we can imagine.
And that's why I think the prompt's framing is actually quite sophisticated. It's not asking, how do we use AI to predict threats? It's asking, how do we use structured methods to test premises rigorously? Those are different questions with different answers.
The answer, as best I can synthesize it, is that there's a mature toolkit of manual structured techniques, a growing set of computational and AI-augmented frameworks, and a convergence toward hybrid systems where machines do the exhaustive search and consistency checking while humans provide the judgment and the constraint setting.
I'd add one more piece, which is that the most important methodological insight might be the simplest one. Before you model how something would work, ask whether it could work. Before you simulate the scenario, test the premises. That sounds obvious, but it's skipped constantly in both intelligence analysis and policy planning.
Because testing premises is boring, and it might tell you that your exciting scenario doesn't actually make sense.
Nobody wants to be the person who says, I spent 3 weeks analyzing this, and the answer is that it's not a real problem. But that's actually one of the most valuable analytical products you can produce.
It's the negative result problem in science. Journals don't publish. We tested this hypothesis, and it failed. But knowing that a hypothesis fails is useful information.
That's where AI might actually help in a way that goes beyond just doing the analysis faster. An AI doesn't have career concerns. It doesn't mind producing a negative result. It doesn't need to justify its budget by finding threats. It just does the consistency check and reports what it finds.
Whether or not the human on the receiving end wants to hear it.
Which is its own problem, but that's a question of organizational culture, not methodology.
So, to land this, the prompt asked what methods exist for structured premise testing, and whether specific tools have been developed for national security scenarios. The methods range from ACH and pre-mortems on the manual side, through Monte Carlo and agent-based modeling on the computational side, to LLM-powered frameworks like Snow Globe and the Stanford-Hoover methodology on the AI-augmented side. The tools exist, they're being used, and the frontier is hybrid systems that combine machine consistency with human judgment.
The lesson is that the most important step is the one that's easiest to skip. Test the premise before you build the model. If the premise doesn't survive basic scrutiny, the most sophisticated simulation in the world won't save you.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1812, a whaling ship passing through the Azores recorded an unlikely shipboard friendship between a Portuguese water dog and a young sperm whale that followed the vessel for 3 weeks, with the dog apparently delivering fish scraps to the whale at the waterline each morning.
Right, right. One thought to leave listeners with. All of these frameworks, ACH, pre-mortems, Snow Globe, Monte Carlo, they're ultimately tools for being wrong less often, not for being right, for being wrong in more interesting and more correctable ways. And that might be the most we can realistically ask for when we're trying to think about things that haven't happened yet.
This has been My Weird Props, with me, Herman Poppleberry.
Produced by Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find every episode at My Weird Prompts.
If you enjoyed this one, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.